Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad and we're joined as always by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
You say as always I'm on the podcast. What if I'm suddenly taken unwell and I'm unable to attend? What then, Chris?
I will just do you in a silly voice. I'll just do my normal voice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tricky accent, though. I don't think I could pull it off. I'll do the best goddamn Pete Donaldson impression there's ever been.
Yeah. Many have tried and many have failed.
Well, I suppose there's good news and bad news. The first thing, good news.
Right.
I finally got a bicycle.
Hey! What are we talking here? Like an amazing kind of, you know, 1,000-pound carbon fibre beauty.
I think it costs about £2,000.
Whoa!
It's not carbon fibre. Apparently, steel is better for bikes. I'm not sure why. I wasn't really listening to the guy, to be honest. It's still pretty lightweight, though.
Yeah.
I can literally pick it up quite easily and carry it around. Right. The bad news, of course, is I rode it back from the bike shop, which is about 5 kilometres away from my apartment, and I haven't been able to sit down all today. And that was yesterday. The seat... It's like the devil himself made it. It's made of concrete or something. It's so damn hard. I'm really worried now about the cycle. And a lot of people have been warning me about this, right?
Mm.
If you're one of the people who messaged me warning me about bike seats and the pain it would lead to, you're absolutely right.
Mm.
And this is what's 5 kilometres and I can't sit down for a day. 2,000 kilometres, I'm going to be disabled. So I don't really know what to do. I'm probably going to get some trousers with like a padded... cushioned bit at the back, or I'm going to try and get a new seat, but this needs to be sorted out because otherwise I'm absolutely stuffed for the cycle.
It's all about familiarity though, isn't it? It's about doing it every day and getting your bum firmed up.
I've had a lot of support from people. I've even had a guy, a really cool guy, who spends his life just cycling around the world and Asia, make an entire video dedicated to giving me tips and advice. So, everyone's come together, been very kind and given me a lot of ideas and lots of things that I never would have thought about. The main thing I'm worried about are the tunnels, going through mountains, right?
Mm.
A lot of the Japanese countryside, you need to go through tunnels to actually get anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's going to be quite scary because are they going to see me? How safe is that going to be? And certainly some of the country roads are a little bit dicey. So that's probably top of my list of concerns, and then followed by the bicycle seat from hell. That's the second one.
But yeah.
If I can get around those two problems, I'm good.
I think you'd be all right with the tunnels. I mean, comparatively compared to like the amount of cycling you're going to be doing, surely the tunnels aren't that long, unless I'm just completely unaware of how long the tunnels can be. I guess they must go through
some
entire mountains, so... Yeah,
now you get tunnels up to 5-6 kilometres long that never end.
Really? Wow.
Hopefully I'm going to miss them out. That would be terrifying, getting stuck midway into like a 5 kilometre tunnel on just a bicycle.
Off your head on carbon monoxide, or whatever comes out of a...
Off my head on carbon monoxide of Bikari sweat, yeah.
Yes.
But you'll experience it. Like, if all goes well, Pete, and you do actually get to join us on the cycle, we will be going through Fukui, and there's lots of mountains there, lots of tunnels. So you'll get to experience the magic of carbon monoxide and tunnels as well.
Well,
so,
I mean, well, again, we'll just see, won't we? We'll see if I turn up, won't we? I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, man. I've not done any cycling since I was about 10, so...
probably get some preparation in then. Yeah. Do something.
I only go to the gym and lift the weights. I quite like the weights. I just find everything else. Anything that's going to elongate my life, I find quite boring.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, just get on a bicycle, get one of those bicycles and just cycle away in the gym instead. And hopefully after a few weeks, you'll be good. You'll be ready. I'd be pretty funny, though, if we have to stick you in the car halfway through because you can't handle it. I'm just cycling alone with you out the car window.
Well, I'll
kind
be
of cheering
well, I'll
me
be very
on for three
jet
days.
Lagged. Yeah, I'll be very jet lagged, won't I? So, no, I can just get the train. I can just get the train to the next city and go, "Hello, Chris. I had a wonderful sleep. How are you?"
So today we've got a few news articles, ladies and gentlemen. As always, we've got a few news articles from across Japan, as well as your questions, which we'll be diving into later on. The first news article that caught my attention this week. A man was arrested for robbing a Tokyo convenience store with a rather unique weapon. Do you want to divulge what that weapon is, Pete?
I believe, Chris, it was a nose hair trimmer. Now,
a nose hair trimmer.
If you're unfamiliar, maybe you are a girl and not cursed with nose and ear hair. It's like a little kind of flashlight, isn't it? I suppose like a little kind of tube, which doesn't look much like a gun. I'm not really sure how they managed to make it look like a gun or a knife. I mean, presumably, like, threatening to get someone with a nose trimmer. What do you do? Like, I'm going to trim you.
I think nose hair trimmers are like the little tiny scissors. The picture I saw in the article,
that
we're talking
makes more
those
sense.
Tiny scissors
right.
with 1 centimeter of, like, blade.
To
call it a blade... It's an exaggeration anyway, but this guy, this is how ridiculous it is. It's not even a tube of some sort. It's like a tiny pair of scissors with round ends on.
So he was brandishing it like it was... I mean, bearing in mind, they're designed, or scissors, those little tiny wee scissors that were used in the past before electricity was invented. Those nose hair trimmers, like, they're designed to go in really delicate parts of your body, so...
Exactly.
By virtue of the fact they're not very sharp, or they're certainly not sharp on the ends where you'd...
They're not sharp. I mean, so this guy walked into a Family Mart in Shinjuku, downtown Tokyo, at 4 a.m. On August 31st. The guy was apparently in his late 40s, and he walked up to the clerk, pulled out these deadly nose hair trimmers, and said, "Don't move, give me all the money." And obviously the clerk... I mean, if somebody tells you don't move, but also to give you all the money out the till, already you've got a bit of
a
kind of conundrum on your hands. Do you move? Do you bring on the wrath of the nose hair trimmers?
Put your hands up and give me all the money. Order. Well, I can only do one thing at the time. Terrible idea.
Well, this guy, this 25-year-old clerk, apparently he was so confused, as he would be, he just sort of ran away. And the guy who was holding up the store with this deadly weapon couldn't get the money out because you need the store clerk to open the safe or crack open the till anyway. And while the robber was holding up the store with these nose hair trimmers, luckily a police officer dropped by and caught him and arrested him. But it's just such a ridiculous kind of... Japanese style crime story. I mean, we've reported a few in the past, like the manager of the convenience store who held up his own shop with a face mask on, but all the staff just listened to his voice and realised it was him, you know. And I watched a video just yesterday of like some like gangster being taken down by the Japanese police. There was like four or five. What happens in Japan is when there's a criminal, they swarm the criminal. I've seen it in Osaka before. Basically, you have like a ruffian sitting there doing something bad, drinking alcohol, swearing, whatever. Something really naughty.
Yeah.
And, like, two police cars will turn up with four police officers in each. And they'll just sort of circle the person and try and calm them down. And in the video I saw, and you can check it out on YouTube, it's everywhere, they restrained the guy and then wrapped him up in a futon and carried him off to the police station in custody. They wrap people up here. How bonkers is that?
I like, I'm just looking at the news video that you sent. So there's a picture of the nose trimmers. But then you've got the news anchor that's outside the Family Mart in question in Shinjuku, basically sort of saying, these are the clippers involved. And it's in the news anchor's hand now. That's a piece of evidence, surely.
Deadly weapon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe the guy didn't just go over to the fridge and just, you know, get himself a Pecari sweat for his troubles. Because, I mean, he didn't get any money out of the till, yeah. So. Yeah, you'd at least grab yourself a coolish.
Of course, you at least grab yourself a hand ice cream. But, like, I don't know, it's just... I don't know how I'd react. If I was a store clerk and somebody went and pulled out these nose hair trimmers, I don't really know what I'd do. I think I would genuinely be scared. Not because of the somewhat disappointing weapon, but just by the person's mentality.
Yeah, exactly. If you think that you can rob a convenience store with just a small pair of scissors, I think, you know, what else can you do? Bearing in mind that the shop probably sells sharper things than he's got. They probably sell full-size scissors. They sell everything, those Family Marts.
I know, right? What, at what point did he... What was he doing? Was he literally just trimming his nose hair and thought, wait a minute, this is it.
This is brilliant.
This is all I need to rob the Family Marts.
This could not only turn over my hygiene, this could turn around my hygiene and my luck. This could turn over a whole shop.
It's ridiculous, but there you go.
Oh, well.
That's the kind of high-level crime we deal with here in Japan every single day. It's not exactly a scene out of Heat, is it?
No.
Any picture sort of scenes you see in films? Everyone with a M4 carbine holding up a store, and then you've got nose hair trimmers.
Somebody made the comment online that it was like somebody starting a game of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds at the start, where you've got no weapons and you might come into a room and all you've got is a frying pan to fight off people who are actually, you know, they've got guns and stuff.
It's like playing a video game on expert difficulty, isn't
it? Yeah, he's taking down
the bad guys with nose hair trimmers.
He's taking a knife to a... He's taking a small pair of scissors to a gunfight there.
Quite literally, yeah. Mm.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret, sexy club.
Wow!
But there you go. That's the terrifying crime story of the week.
It's a great first story. I'm enjoying it.
The second story that caught my eye is not quite as graphic or deadly.
Mm.
It's kind of cool. So there used to be a train that went from Tokyo to Sapporo, the city in Hokkaido. It ran from 1988 to 2015 before the train was upgraded to a bullet train. This train in particular, though, was a sleeper train. You'd sit on you'd get a carriage, you'd fall asleep, and 16 hours later, you'd wake up in Sapporo. Unfortunately, it wasn't very popular because the flight path between Tokyo and Sapporo is only about 1 hour and a half, and it's much cheaper than the sleeper train anyway. So I guess there's sort of people that would ride it. It's more for the romantic element of it, right?
Yeah.
Like the Oriental Express or something. But it got decommissioned, and they've actually taken the sleeping compartments out of the carriages and stuck them into a hotel called the Hokutose Hostel, which is the name of the rail line. The name of the rail line was the Hokutose. So if you want to feel like you're sleeping in a train and you want to do that for whatever reason, then you can. It does look kind of romantic and cool. I won't lie. They've taken bits and pieces out of the dining car and you can sit in the sort of communal area with all the sort of stuff that you would have had from the train. But the carriages, you know, they do kind of look good. They're broken up into dorms and each one has four bunk beds. So it is basically just like a hostel, but themed.
Yeah.
Kind of elegant themed hostel is the best way to describe it. If you're into your trains, though, it could be quite romantic. It's near Akihabara as well. So good area as well. But I would have thought that's the sort of thing you'd like, Pete.
I love a sleeper train. I mean, I'm going to ignore your use of the word Oriental Express, which I enjoyed immensely. And I think it should be called the Oriental Express because it's funny.
Did I get it wrong?
Literally two letters, Chris. That's it.
Nothing.
I am nothing. I've been on loads of sleeper trains, certainly in England. I find them incredibly romantic and exciting. There's nothing better than a sleeper train. I mean, we have them in
England.
Yeah, we have them in from Edinburgh to Edinburgh and Glasgow to London. Takes
London.
About
8 hours,
9 hours. You can get up to most of Scotland there. I mean, they frequently break down. They're not as luxurious as they used to be. I think they're getting upgraded, actually. There is a sleeper train in Japan, isn't there? There's a couple. There's the Sunrise that I've always wanted to go on. Like any kind of capsule hotel, it's very much, you're right next to the person next to you and stuff. It's like sleeping in like a business class seat. So you're really close to the other people. And it's very compact, let's say, and communal. Very little personal space has not been explored. But it looks really good. It looks really cool.
It looks all right. I mean, I think I've only been on one sleeper train, and that was in China. That was pretty intense. There's something romantic about it, isn't there? I think it's because of my favourite James Bond film, From Russia With Love. They kind of sits on a train and goes across Europe. And ever since then, I thought, that's quite cool. That would be romantic.
But also, they always sort of leave at like weird times. They never leave at like when you're going to go to sleep. They never leave at like midnight. They always leave at like 10. And so they dump you. I remember being dumped out in a place called Dunkeld in Scotland at like 6 in the morning. And it was just completely dark and there was nothing open. And obviously I couldn't go to a hotel because it was not open. And it's pretty dreadful, to be honest. But as long as you can get your timings right, I think it's quite a fun way to travel.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll be dropping into this place. I don't know if it's on my hit list. Probably not. I think I'll just stick with a regular capsule hotel. The only other thing they have that might swing it is they have a very kind of, they have this Sapporo beer that you can only get in Hokkaido. Obviously the train used to go to Hokkaido and so it was stocked with local specialty goods that you could get in Hokkaido, but that's the only other reason you'd probably want to go. Unless you love trains or Sapporo beer, there's probably better places to stay, to be honest.
The Japanese love a special edition, don't they? Oh, you can only get that in this town. Oh, we do the ramen slightly differently. And it's just like, you've got to come here to do it and nobody else can do it. It's very strange.
Yeah, I always wonder why that is. Yeah. I think it's because a lot of Japanese tourists don't actually leave Japan much.
Yeah.
It's far less common, I think, for Japanese tourists to go overseas. So they typically stay in Japan. And if you go to the next town over or the next prefecture over, it kind of makes it all the more exciting, right? Whether the mackerel is better or where the ramen tastes, you know, unique or something. Generally, I mean, I've travelled the length and breadth of Japan, and honestly, it's not that big a deal. Like, I spoke to Ryotaro yesterday, and he said he went to Shikoku, the island in the south, and he went to a prefecture, I think it was Kochi prefecture, and he had some mackerel or something there, and he said it was the best mackerel he's ever had. But then he said that when we're in Aomori one time before, and it's he kind of goes along with it, and most Japanese people do, but to me, it all just, you know, it's all just tastes the
much
same.
I can't really think. It's all pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't really think of many places where there are unique dishes. I mean, Sendai, we've got gyutan, right? Cow tongue.
Right.
And it is quite difficult to find that across Japan, but there are restaurants that do it still everywhere. It's just a lot more frequent in Sendai.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I play along with it, but really, if you're making a special pilgrimage to somewhere, it might not be worth it. You could probably find the exact same thing you want in Tokyo anyway. I mean, on the subject of weird, wacky things that people... I mean, If you thought the sleeper train was kind of unique and special, the next story that caught my attention, and this is from a few months ago now, is equally as weird. No, it's in fact, it's a lot more weird, isn't it? Japan has started the world's first virtual airline. The world's first virtual airline. And basically, it's just like a cafe or restaurant with a VR headset. You arrive at the cafe and you check in. I think you can take your passport, you get a fake passport, and they give you a ticket. You sit down in a compartment that looks like the kind of premium economy cabin on like an airline. And the cabin attendant comes in. They give you the safety kind of talk that they normally would before a plane takes off. You slip on your VR headset, take off, and then you enjoy a four-course meal in the style of, being in a first-class cabin on an airline. I don't see the attraction of that. 6,600 yen, about $60. I don't get it. I don't understand. But it's been doing quite well, apparently.
Well, trying to get my mum to go on a trip. I always try and get my mum to like get on a plane or go somewhere, and she never does. She hasn't been on a plane for some time now. But there should be like a pretty good halfway house, because I think the things that I think my mum would really like about travel, and certainly like business class travel, would be a little space for herself, and she gets served like a lovely breakfast, all in little kind of compartments and stuff, and like she gets served breakfast, and it's all there for her. And then she gets a cup of tea, and you know she loves that sort of thing. That's why she loves staying in like hotels that have bed and breakfasts. She loves being served a breakfast because she never gets that from my dad, basically. Let's make that very clear. But she loves that sort of thing, so I think she'd really appreciate this. But she would have to get on a really long flight to Japan to do it. So
In the absence of your romantic dad and his morning gesture with breakfast,
yeah,
a virtual airline is the only solution. this is apparently it's popular with elderly people who can't fly for whatever reason,
right?
Disabled or have ailments, so it kind of appeals to that demographic. I did think about going in there with a camera. It's the sort of thing that could do well, right?
Similar
vein as the robot dinosaur hotel, which I filmed a year and a half ago. Which I thought, it sounded great, and I got there, and that has been going viral, actually, the last few weeks. Everybody's been commenting about it, saying, oh, Chris covered that a year and a half ago. It's doing the rounds again. Whenever something goes viral, you find it tends to go viral again, like a year or two later. But I never really found that good, the robot dinosaur hotel. Did you see the video?
I did see the video. I mean, it was just like an animatronic sort of robot dinosaur in the front lobby, wasn't it? And then,
you basically go in, you go to the check-in counter, and there's two velociraptors. You choose your language, and then it starts speaking English or Chinese, whatever language you choose.
Right.
It starts gesturing and moving around. It's absolutely terrifying. It looks horrifying. It's moving, it's rocking backwards and forwards with its giant claws and its mouth. There's a T-Rex in there as well. There are cleaning robots, cleaning the windows and the floor. There's lots of just robots doing things in general. The coolest thing, there was a fish tank, and there were like robotic fish just sailing around in it. And I thought they were real at first.
Oh, wow.
Until I got up close. That was kind of cool. And then there was a robotic talking egg thing, a digital concierge in the shape of an egg in each and every hotel room. And it just barely worked. It was really awkward. We got the permission of the people of the hotel to film there, and they kind of escorted us around. And I found it all relatively underwhelming. It's kind of cool. It's a bit of a novelty. It's quite expensive. It's like twice the price of your average hotel room in Japan.
Yeah.
The only reason it might be popular is because it's near Disneyland. So maybe, I don't know, families and kids might like it. But yeah, it was really awkward. We had this digital egg concierge thing. And you could say, turn on the TV. And then it wouldn't work. And you'd be like, turn on the TV. And it just would go and do nothing. And it was just really awkward, and I had to try. When I edited the video, I tried to make it look better than it was because I felt I kind of felt sorry for the hotel staff. I think, to be fair, I think it had only just opened up, but yeah, I kind of felt sorry for them. But the video subsequently led to being on Canadian television.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it? This is kind of your bread and butter, though, isn't it? I mean, you might not, particularly be that infused by it. Well, that as well, I guess. But, getting in on, I guess, Japanese YouTubers will be flocking to this airport flying experience to get their video out there and stuff, because that's just kind of what everyone has to do, I suppose. Should I go, Pete? Well,
should I film it?
I think you should sort of get in contact with them and say, look, listen, who's the big swinging big dog in Japan? It's me. It's Chris Broad. You need to let me in on the ground. Don't let any other YouTubers in. I want exclusivity, or you ain't getting the numbers. 1 million subscribers last week. Up yours. You want that? You want a slice of this cheese? Yeah? Good.
I just like the idea of sending an email and starting it. Dear sir or madam, I'm the big swinging dog around here. ... I've got 1 million subscribers. Where's my...
be brilliant.
I think the only reason I wouldn't do it is because I know everybody listening is probably thinking, this sounds ridiculous.
Apart from
a few people who are probably quite curious. But for the most part, I think the internet wouldn't be very kind to this concept. I think we'd tear it apart just because it's just so ridiculous. And it just... I mean, fair play, though. If you go on YouTube and look at it, it's called First Airlines.
Mm.
Google it, YouTube it, look it up. And the level of, they do really commit to this idea. It does look almost convincing to a point. I think there's about 10 or 12 seats in there. They've got digital clouds as well, as well as the headset, of course. And the meal looks all right. The meal actually looks edible and quite all right. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, don't think I'll be going there, but it's another insight into the sort of wacky experiences you can expect in Tokyo.
I just wonder how long the meals are. Like, do you have to stay on, if it's a long-haul flight, do you have to stay on for, like, 5 hours?
Well, it says, I think the flights go from Tokyo to Paris and Tokyo to New York.
Right.
I don't think it's in real time. That would be a little bit sad. just 12 hours in a room with a little chair, pretending to be on a plane. But, you know, I think you should bring your mum to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And let her do it, Pete. Although, obviously, the flawed idea is she'd have to fly all the way to Tokyo.
Exactly.
On a real plane to try being on a fake plane.
Didn't they just use a drug, Mr. T, back in the day on the air tune? They used to give him a hamburger with a sleeping tablet in it, and he would get on, because he wouldn't get on any planes. How'd I get here? Well, here's a clue, Mr. T. You ate a burger, like you do every time they make you get on a plane. Idiot. Jesus.
Knocked out with burgers.
We've all been there.
All right, well, let's dive into the fax machine. We've got a lot of cool emails from you guys this week. What have we got there in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
Oh, we've got an email from Margie, who's in Florida. Hi, Chris and Pete. Hey, Margie. It was very recently brought to my attention that the Japanese have a tradition surrounding a child going on their first errand. I know this question doesn't really have a lot of direction, but I was wondering if you could tell us anything about it, as I don't know much, but I would like to learn. I always listen to the podcast while driving. It's one of my favourites. I live on campus and only ever drive to Dunkin' Donuts, which is right down the road. I usually go to Dunkin' Donuts like 3 times before the podcast is over. Well, Margie, I hope you don't contract some form of diabetes thanks to the Abroad Japan podcast, but I would like to say we're not liable for any problems that your body might experience if you ate donuts 3 times
addicted.
A day.
Don't get too addicted to Dunkin' Donuts. As I said last week, I love it when you guys send in your comments and messages and you paint a picture of how you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Last week we had a bus. Before that we had a guy from Sweden who was on his way to a job interview. And now we've got Margie who's going frequently, perhaps too frequently, to Dunkin' Donuts. So, yeah. When you send your messages in, do paint a picture of what you're doing. I quite like it.
Mm.
I live for that.
I live for this.
Interestingly, I didn't really know what this was. So Margie raises a point here. There's a TV show. I found out about this after reading the question. There's a TV show in Japan called My First Errand, or Hajimete no Otsukai. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Kid Tasks 1. I think somebody just uploaded a program of it. It's really quite interesting. Basically, they take a two to five-year-old kid, somewhere within that range, and they set them off on a task across town to do something like go and get the lettuce. So it's kind of not the most exciting errands, I won't lie. But they'll sort of take a kid and be like, go and get the lettuce. And the one I watched on YouTube is like a 5-year-old boy and his 4 or 3-year-old sister. And the mum sort of waves them off. And they don't know in this TV show, they don't know that there's a TV crew following them. Yeah, following them around town. And it's really interesting because it's like the kids are just doing their own thing. You get an insight into the mind of a 5-year-old. And the one I watched, this little boy, for the first 5 or 10 minutes of his adventure, he was just crying. And his sister's trying to cheer him up and just patting him. It's quite heartwarming stuff, actually. And then they walk into the butcher's and the boy's like, I want a steak. And the butcher's really impressed by this boy and gives him a steak. And yeah, it's quite a nice, humbling thing. It kind of gives you a sense of renewed confidence in the power of children. I mean, I see it all the time. I was walking through Tokyo about 2 weeks ago, trying to get my 10,000 steps in.
Yeah.
On an evening, I just saw it must have been a 4-year-old kid, a little girl, 4 years old, in a cool little outfit with the hat and the backpack that you always see.
Mm.
And she was just walking alongside this really big road on her own. Nobody in sight at all. She was clearly either doing this errand or just, I don't know, going to school or something on her own. But there was no parents in sight. It's kind of eerie.
Mm.
But apparently they do it in Japan because it reinforces the fact that Japan is a collectivist society. And if you do have a problem, you can turn to the people around you.
Like
people on the street or people in the train or whatever. You can ask them for help. And it kind of reinforces this kind of collectivist notion of Japanese society and how it all works together. That's quite a nice way of looking at it, but it's still quite daunting. I don't think I'd have the confidence to just let my four or five year old kid just walk off around town on their own, especially as just last week there was a massive news story where I think it was a 2 or 3 year old boy had been out with his grandfather in some sort of field doing something, picking berries, and the grandfather just sort of said to him, oh, you can go home now. And the kid walked off on their own, got lost for like 3 or 4 days in the forest.
No.
So worst case scenario, it can go wrong. But yeah,
worst case scenario, you find yourself in a forest.
Yeah, they found the kid though, so that was thank
good.
God. But
yeah, what's the next email, Chris?
The next email is actually it's another person from Florida.
Oh,
I think this week everyone's from Florida.
Florida men and Florida women.
Hello, Pete and Chris. Yeah, Richard here from Miami, Florida, in the US of A. Japan is well known for how safe it is, but have either of you ever encountered the most dangerous side? For example, have you ever had a run-in with the Yakuza? And are there any other gangs in Japan, or is that just the only one? Is there such a thing as street gangs in Japan? Thank you. Keep doing what you do. Cheers, Richard from Miami. That's the third question we've had from Miami in the last two podcasts. We finally discovered where Pitbull was last week, right? Thanks to another listener in Miami. But yeah, I have actually never had a proper run-in with the Yakuza. What about you, Pete?
No, I don't think I could. I think the only time is a friend was having a night out and she met a couple of blokes who had the full back. Like, they were older blokes, but they were a bit pissed and they showed off their ink, so to speak. But like, he literally had his trousers around his ankles, like showing his bum tats as well, because it went down quite low, which is quite funny. They were a good nick.
I mean, you've got a tattoo, so technically you are Yakuza, right?
Well, my Goro Majima Halloween costume will involve me having to apply some fake tattoos onto my body. So there'll be two reasons why I'm not allowed in onsen. One, fake tattoos are flaking off into the water, and also you've got tattoos. But yeah, you sort of don't see. I think you see the effects of it, sort of thing. Because I think, isn't it surely like the Yakuza's kind of most egregious crimes are invariably loan shark, like real estate scams and stuff like that.
Right.
There's a lot of blue collar crime, white collar crime, sort of working in Japan. So I guess as foreigners, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have seen anything apart from walking past, sexual places in Shibuya and stuff, in Shinjuku and stuff. That's very Yakuza led, isn't it? That sort of thing.
Yeah, Shinjuku is probably the best place to see him. Often you just see him hanging out the front of bars. If you go in the wrong bar, you might bump into them.
Mm.
I mean, I think I've met like one or two in my old town where I used to live, and they're just normal, friendly people with tattoos.
Yeah.
Obviously, what they do can't be condoned. The three areas they deal with the most is loan sharking. Is the number one one.
Yeah.
I heard a friend of mine once told me that she dated a Yakuza, and this guy, he was quite a prominent member in the gang, he used to keep some guy in a cage in his house who owed him lots of money, like $20,000. And he was like, you can either give me the money or you're going in the cage. And the man was like, I'll have the cage. And he was like this slave man or some horrible thing. It sounds awful.
I mean, that's a pretty extreme story, Chris, has to be said.
Yeah, I know. Family-friendly content on the podcast. But, yeah, in a cage. So loan sharking is a bad one. I think a girl I might have dated once, her dad owned owed money to Yakuza, I think. And she was maybe she had to work off some of the debt by working at one of their bars or something. I never delved too deep into it.
No.
Didn't want to touch a nerve. But that was one thing. So loan sharking,
and also
red light industry.
Yeah.
In Kabukicho and Shinjuku. And property. Owning a lot of property in the kind of late night, red night districts around Tokyo and in Japan in general. I've never really heard of any foreigners having problems with them. It's usually people that borrow money from them, can't pay it back, and then they end up in a cage. So don't borrow money from the Yakuza. And you'll be all right, I reckon.
Yeah, unless you're like cages. Maybe you're into that kind of thing. That caper.
Yeah.
We've got an email from Nico, which will hopefully not lead us so far astray. Big fan of the podcast, keep it the good work. Oh, stop, Nico. I'm going to Japan this coming winter and would like to make videos about my trip. I'm a bit intimidated, though, on the amount of gear you need to carry to make your videos look professional. So my question is, what equipment do you recommend should I bring with me? That's one for you, Chris, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? This is an easy one, because if you are turning in, if you want to be like a vlogger, or you just want to film your holiday, right, and make some nice videos out of it, get the camera that all the vloggers use is called the Canon G7X2.
Ooh.
I think it's around $400-$500, but the quality on it is amazing. I actually use it quite a lot for filming in restaurants and places where I want to be a little bit discreet, but a lot of the big vloggers on YouTube, the big vloggers,
big boys,
they use it.
Ah.
Yeah, they go around and it's just nice and easy. You can hold it quite easily in one hand. It's got a flip screen, so you can obviously film yourself, which is the number one thing you need if you're a vlogger.
Right.
G7X2 Canon. Other than that, if you've got a good phone, I mean, most smartphones these days have pretty good cameras on as well. Like my iPhone does, 4K. And that is actually better than the resolution than a Canon G7 X2. So, yeah, it swings and roundabouts. Personally, get a Canon G7 X2 and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you can film yourself. You can have a great old time. It's a lovely camera. Very fun to use. Very easy to use. And if you want to go to the next level, get a Canon 60D. Canon 60D is the
right
next step above that.
Ah.
Yeah, that's all you need. There is no heavy gear, really. I mean, I did just spend a little bit of money on a gimbal, which is a kind of stabilizer that I can crack my Panasonic GH5 on top and make things stable. I did that because the pachinko video, lots of people commented on it being professional and brilliant, and that was because we used a gimbal. We had
right
a camera stabilized, so when we're moving around, it looks very cinematic and slick. So I bought one of those with the hope that I can take things to the next level and get more people complimenting stuff. That's all it would take.
I see.
Get a gimbal. But yeah, you don't need anything, really. Just a little camera or your smartphone. That is the bar to having success on YouTube and the internet these days, actually.
It's all about stability. Don't be rude. I can't. I have no hands. my hands have been numbed by an accident I had. With apologies to people who went through just that. Good. Right.
Wait, what? Really? Wait. Rewind. Your hands are actually numb?
No, they're not numb. I was joking. I was trying to think of why I couldn't hold a camera. I was thinking, I don't know, I've got claws for hands.
You have no excuse. We demand a Pete in Japan. Give us
Pete
the videos,
Japan,
the channel we deserve. Pete in Japan. We're making one parody video while you're here, at least.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have loads of fun. We'll have a load of fun. I'm going to pop a wheel and then break my ankle.
Sounds reassuring. but as always, guys, do send in your questions to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back, same time as always, next week with more stories, more emails, and more stuff. Hopefully not so many stories about cages and crime and holding up of stores with scissors. But, we'll be back with something.
I want to see the...
Hopefully not quite as graphic.
I want to see the YouTube channel for the man in the cage.
God's sake.
See you next week.
No more cage talk. See you later, everyone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.